This is the Development Locker podcast, and this is your weekly investment in your development as you continue your transition through life and academy football. In season three, we bring you even more episodes, more guests who you can connect with, and even more insight into individuals like you who have a similar experiences in pursuing a career in the professional game. Over the next 11 months and 48 episodes, we aim to cover the key topics you will face along your journey. From the challenges you will have to overcome, the ups, the downs, and many experiences along the way. We will be here every week to discuss the current issues in your lives, support you in your journey, and continue your development to being the best version of you. In your interviews from the locker. This week, we bring you someone a little bit away from the norm. Usually, we bring an expert within their field. Someone who has studied and researched and worked with athletes from across various sports. But not this week. This week, we bring you someone who has lived experience. Something you cannot put a price on. Simon Church is a former professional football player with nearly 250 appearances across three different countries. 38 caps at international level and representing his country in Euro 2016. But having to retire at the age of 29 isn't where this story ends. Simon is a shining example of how transition can be approached and from multiple angles. With various roles in a variety of different organisations, Simon has taken his professional approach to his football into his career after football. Here is Simon to tell you his story in this week's interview from the locker. Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of the podcast, another guest, and again, something that is going to be very relevant to this point of the season, not just in case of the season of the podcast, but the football season as well. But Simon, we'll get straight into the questions, and we always like to start off with a why. And the question I want to ask you is, why do you feel the need to have multiple roles in different organisations after you finished your playing career? Because we try to get across the transition, try to get across a little bit about identity. Why did you feel the need that you needed to kind of like diverse yourself into different roles and not just jump into one role, one sole focus for your career after football?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think I always had an interest in business while I was playing, but I never felt like I could truly, or never took advantage of the times where I could really research and fully immerse myself in what I wanted to do after or when my career ended or during my career. And when it came to the end of my career, I always felt like, because football's so regimented and without coming across too negative, you're told where to do, what you can and can't do. And there's a lot of shackles, and once I retired, I wanted to do things on my own terms and have my, because I felt like sometimes in my career, especially, sometimes it wasn't in my hands. So going into a completely, well, once football finished and started. In many different things, and I always wanted to be a business owner, and as I said, I wanted to be accountable for all my actions. So that's kind of why I've ventured into various industries, and I think growing a network and building relationships, and when you do that and you're open to building those relationships and being open, I think different opportunities come up. And you know, I've been guilty, especially of jumping into things and saying yes all the time, certainly at the beginning. But I think like anything, you you kind of learn and gain that experience.
You're saying there about growing your network and building relationships. Is that how each of them, and we'll go on to the different roles that you currently hold at the minute, but were there conscious decisions you wanted to get into those different realms, or were there, as a consequence of you growing your network, another opportunity came up, you couldn't say no to that, and the next one, and the next one? Or was that a very clear strategy from you of, no, I want to be into this type of business, and then I want to get into that bit, and then I kind of want three or four things running alongside each other?
Yeah, it's definitely escalated. I never had the idea when I retired, because when I retired, I didn't think I'd have to retire, but the surgeon told me, you know, enough's enough, you have to retire. So there was a period of time where obviously I took a time to kind of sit back and just kind of analyze what I want to do for the rest of my life, where I want to go. And I reached out to a couple of people, and they said about, you know, being open to networking and talking and, you know, putting yourself about, really gaining knowledge from people that in the industries that you're kind of interested in. And that certainly allowed me to explore different ventures, to explore my own interests. I think also with having my own business, football's given me the opportunity to have the confidence and certainly the stepping stone to not be concerned about failing or making a mistake or anything like that. So certainly with my own business, the biggest, I guess, barrier for most people is taking that chance, the unknown. You're going into the unknown. It was a completely different thing. All I did for since the age of 9 was kick a football. I wasn't really academic or wasn't interested in that. So then to go and start your own business, luckily I had good people around me, which I met through kind of networking and opening myself up. And it kind of escalated from there, really.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned there the confidence and the no fear kind of mindset that you've taken from your playing days and into kind of your transition pathway and your businesses. Do you feel, has there been any standout challenges where you seriously questioned whether you would be able to make that transition from football player into the different businesses, or was there where you took on the second or the third business where you just thought, oof, I think I've taken on too much here. I don't think I can do this. Or were the other standout moments where you really questioned whether you could transition from the sport that you were in, football, into something completely different?
Yeah, it was difficult, don't get me wrong. I really struggled the first 6 months coming out of football. I lost the routine. I lost motivation, and I did jump into a business naively, where I probably wasn't ready for it. I probably trusted too many people to take care of the situation. It's hailing here. It's just come out.
I was going to say that's some rainstorm you're having there, yeah.
I had many barriers and many blockers, but you know, sometimes you just it's just a learning experience, and I never went into anything. Well, I did go into things naively, but I wanted to try, and I wasn't afraid to fail and say, do you know what, I've made a mistake there, or this isn't working out, or maybe I have taken on too many things, because there was a point where I did try, and I said yes to a lot of things, and that was me just being eager to try and fit somewhere, because sometimes you lose yourself when you come out of football and you think, okay, well, what is my purpose? What is my interest? What do I want to do for the rest of my life? And it's difficult finding that, and I can hand in heart 100% understand why so many professional athletes and footballers struggle so much with trying to find that void that they're trying to fill.
You said naivety there, but I'd probably spin, I mean, obviously I don't know you as much as you know yourself, I'd probably spin that round in terms of maybe that no fear. Do you think you were naive, or do you think because you know, you're saying about you said yes to a lot of opportunity. I think that's a strength rather than being naive, really, of going into things. Or is that just kind of your perception at that time? Have you had chance to kind of reflect upon that and really take stock of what happened? And you mentioned the learning experience. Is that something now where if similar opportunities came your way, you'd be like, I'm not too sure now. I probably wouldn't be jumping to say yes to those opportunities.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I think, I don't see the naivety as a negative. It was maybe just inexperience, I think, was the cause of that. I think when I came out of football, as I said, I kind of opened myself up to as many people and opportunities as possible because I was a bit lost. I didn't know which direction I wanted to go in. I was meeting other people. I didn't really take the time to understand how a business is run, you know, what I want to achieve, how to structure things properly, how to build relationships properly. I kind of lent on a lot of people too much, which is why I say the naivety of me not taking responsibility of knowing exactly what I'm getting into. Whereas now, like you said, I've kind of learned those lessons. I felt like I've had to do that. I've had to learn those lessons, and I don't have a problem with that. I've had that with football as well, because I've made decisions in my footballing career which I feel like I look back and I regret, but if I hadn't gone through those, then I wouldn't have learned what I learned now.
Yeah. My next question is going on to the support network. You talked about network before and what support network you had, or if you had one, because you talked about the building of relationships. You're talking about, you know, having maybe a lack of experience in some ways. Did you have support? If so, who was helping you along that way? Was it something where you were just single-minded, like, no, I need to do this, I need to take ownership and accountability of my own transition? Or was it a case of where you were getting particular support from, you know, an individual or a group of individuals?
Yeah, I mean, during my career, I had a mentor who was great for me as my academy director, Eamon Dolan, who sadly passed away in 2016. But he was always there on a football side. And then I had support mentally with a psychologist throughout my career. But then when I made the transition out of sport or out of football, I didn't lean on anyone and I didn't speak to anyone. And I certainly didn't get a phone call or any kind of support, which I was a little bit shocked about. I came out of football, instantly retiring after, you know, 18 months early, I was playing in the semi-final of the Euros. And now I'm out, I'm thinking I'm going to get a phone call or, you know, someone's going to say, do you need any help? Or we'd be really interested in you having a look. Do you want to come and have a look at doing this or that? I didn't have one phone call, to be honest. And again, I think I guess you go in a bit naively. But when I say naivety, I think that's it, because it's the unknown. You don't really know what to expect. You have an idea that people would, and I speak to so many players now, current and ex, that have the same idea that, you know, I'll get my coaching badges and I'll automatically get a job. Or, you know, I know so many people in the industry, they'll help me out. And that's just not the case. And yeah, I wish I had spoken to someone. And it took me to, you know, get into a really bad place mentally, which was affecting my family and getting over the transition, where I had to go and seek help, not from a business point of view, but from a mental point of view, because it was just a whirlwind of, what am I doing? This isn't going as well as I thought it was. You know, just loads of things that I kind of had to deal with from a mental point of view.
And you were saying about football being regimented, and how difficult was that to break away from, to have that accountability and ownership now fully focused on you. Like you said, no one else was going to do it for you. No one else is going to pick up the phone and go, yeah, here you go. Here's a opportunity, a business, a job role after football. Or did you use that to your advantage of then you tried your best to continue in that regimented daily habits to invest in yourself? Which way did you, or did you do something different to that?
Yeah, I mean, if people are listening to this, I can understand how it might sound strange and how people can think, well, you've done something you love, and you know, most people would love to be in our positions. How can you come out and be this lost and be this feel this way? And I think from the age of 16, I was told where to be, what to eat, what not to do. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I think when you come out of football, there's no one telling you what to do, what you can't do, what you have done. So it's so common that a lot of players just get completely lost. They lose the routine. And to be honest, I didn't want a routine. I wanted the freedom of doing whatever I want, eating whatever I want, not having to go to the gym because I've spent half my career in there. And you lose any kind of motivation and stimulation. And the routine is such an important thing. And I lost that for, a good 6 months. And when I was speaking to another ex-athlete, he said the biggest thing that helped me was routine. And getting back into a routine, getting back into the gym, and just do the basics, you know, try and structure your day like we had in football. Because, you know, as well as anyone as well, that, you know, football's led in such a structured way that we know what we're doing 3 or 4 weeks in advance, and we know the timings, and we know what to do and where to be. And I think when you're so conditioned in this way of sleeping, eating right, being places you're told to be, and then you don't have that, it's very, very difficult to kind of maintain that. Whether you've enjoyed that or not, I think it's important to have some structure and routine.
I totally agree with that one. And yeah, I think it's, you know, even as a member of support staff within football, you get very conditioned quite early on, don't you, into that routine. And even though sometimes you kind of wish for time off, when that time off comes, it's only a matter of days before you're like, right, what am I doing? I should be doing something now because this doesn't feel right or feel normal. And you've had that for a lot longer period and probably far more regimented than I have. You talk about the regimented part and, you know, having a clear structure to your day, and you know, you talked about seeking opportunities, networking. Was your transition starting, your thought process, your actions, was that around that time of the injury or just after that? Or were you kind of quite open-minded and kind of switched on to some of those things needing to be proactively done before the end of your career? Which way around did you do it? Was it the injury that kind of kicked you into action, or were you already doing things in the background before then?
Yeah, I always had an interest in business. I invested in different things, good and bad, throughout my career. But I never felt, I always felt guilty if I didn't focus totally on my football. I mean, from the era and the clubs that I grew up in and I played for, it was always frowned upon if you had interests outside of football. Your football has to be 100%. You know, you go home, switch off, you rest, try and be with your family. But you're never thinking about, you know, tomorrow I could get injured and that's it for me. I retired at 29, but I had my surgery in 2016. So I retired in 2018. I had my surgery in 2016, I think. When I had my injury, I knew that there was a slim chance of me ever getting back to the level that I could play at. And I did start looking, but I didn't look aggressively enough because I always thought I'd give myself the best opportunity to get back and focus on playing. I'm 26, 27. I've got loads of time to think about, life after football. And that's one regret. In hindsight, it's a great thing, obviously, but one thing I would do is, as early as possible as I could, whether you're, if you're a current player, or I would have always start looking at things and start opening myself up to interests I had that I wanted to do during football. Because that's another thing. People setting up businesses and getting interested in learning and doing things at home while they're still playing. And I think that should be supported and promoted, because, you know, football's such a ruthless industry. There's very rarely much loyalty in it. And, you know, once you're out of a team or once you're out of the sport, that's it. No one really cares. And that's just, it's not a personal thing. That's just how it is.
Yeah, no, you're spot on in that regard. And it's, although it is changing, it's changing quite slowly, but it still is changing. I think people like yourself are massively contributing to that, of the different roles that you've got, the different positions, and the fact, you know, you're saying you said yes to many opportunities, and you're actively doing something through that networking. And now you're coming onto this episode to be able to, you know, kind of relay that message, and hopefully to tap into that kind of younger market, the, you know, the academy players or the young professionals maybe kind of, I'm not saying you made mistakes, but maybe being a little bit ahead of the curve, where you might think about, if only I'd have started this early. So, it's great what you're doing, and you're a shining example in terms of, you know, what you're doing at the moment. And speaking of the moment, what you're doing now, some players are at that point of their career now, aren't they, where they're either out on loan and it's coming towards the end of the season, or around academy football or young professionals where their contracts come to an end or the return and release and they're out on trial. Touch upon the loan bits first. How hard was it for you to be out on loan? So looking at your career, you had, you know, a handful of loans, maybe a couple more. Mm. And how frustrating is it, or was it for you, to be going out on loan and not necessarily getting the opportunity or the game time to be able to prove yourself? Because assuming you're out on loan to do that, but then, as you mentioned before about being in or outside of your control, how hard and how frustrating is that for you to not be given that opportunity while you're out on loan at another club and not getting the game time? Or if you are getting game time, it's probably, you know, not the quantity you were looking for. How hard is that to mentally process and be able to deal with in your career?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I guess I was fortunate enough to be going out alone at the age of 18, 19 to, you know, League One, League Two. I'm playing league football at 18, 19. I couldn't get in the squad at Reading. I had too many good players in front of me. So I was okay with that. I wanted to go and play, you know, senior football as quickly as possible. And alongside that, I was playing for Wales under 21. So I felt like this is, I always saw this as, this is my opportunity to show that I can play, you know, be a professional footballer. I can play at a high standard. What you don't know at that, certainly at that age, is the politics that come in into the game, which again, sometimes is out of your control, and you have to kind of learn that and accept that this is a situation. But I think when you're young, all you care about is playing football. And certainly in my experiences of going alone, which I'm grateful for, because I had an experience of playing every week. I had an experience when I went to Yeovil where they were fighting, they were in a relegation battle, and he wanted to go with the experience. And I was living from home, I was away from home, I wasn't playing, I wasn't happy, but I had to kind of learn how to cope with that and how to deal with that. So that was a great experience for me. But the older I got, I felt like, you know, at some stage you've got to take your opportunities, which going out on loan helped me massively with giving myself a platform to show what I can do, which then enabled me to then be brought back and play in one of the biggest games of Reading season when I'm 19 off the back of my loan. And if I stayed at Reading, I don't think I would have had that opportunity to go straight in start. So I would see it as a huge positive. It's a different experience. It's a different environment. You're going to have different people, especially if you're coming from a level of, you know, a higher level and you're dropping down a couple of levels and you haven't experienced it before. I think it's a really, really good experience. On the flip side of that, when I was 23, we were in the Premier League with Reading and I went online to Huddersfield and it just didn't work. I was still playing for Wales, starting for Wales, but I dropped that. It just didn't work. It wasn't comfortable. I wasn't in the right mind frame. And I think it can go either way. I think you take it how you work. When I was younger, I embraced it. When I was older, I saw it as a bit of a negative thing, to be honest.
Yeah. When you're coming towards the end of those loan moves or a trial at a club, and for speaking on behalf of some of those listeners now who are either finding themselves out on trial at other clubs to get another contract, or they're at a loan club similar to yourself to be able to get that game time and to be able to sample different experiences, how do you prepare? How do you cover, deal with those final few weeks, those final few games a year? Kind of ramping things up to keep that lasting impression of on the minds of, you know, those who are recruiting, those who are offering out the contracts and the coaches? Or is it just you've literally, the old adage, you've got to take every game as it comes? Or do you have a kind of a strategy, a plan in your mind going, okay, I've got 5 games now between now and the end of the season. I'm going to make sure I'm on it and I smash it so that, you know, I give him a difficult decision to make on my future, or whether he turns that loan into a permanent deal, or I'm showing my actual club that I'm signed with that, you know, I am good enough and that I have got men's football and I have seized that opportunity. How's the player's mentality work in those kind of final few games of a loan period?
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure from outside, close friends, family. But I think the biggest pressure you have is the pressure you put on yourself, because this is the beauty of football and sport. You know, you're given an opportunity to show what you can do, and sometimes it goes really well and sometimes it doesn't go really well, but that doesn't mean that you're not good enough to be at that level. And I think people take the ruthlessness of football in such a personal way that, you know, if it doesn't work out for someone, it can certainly work out somewhere else. And yeah, I think the mentality in football is, I'm not good enough to be here. But I think, again, when we talk about experience, you go out and you kind of, once you've proved yourself and you've proved yourself to yourself, basically, you have a level of confidence and understanding at the level that you can play at. And I think sometimes it is a lot out of your hands. I mean, I had to go on trial a few times. So I played in the semi-final of the Euros and went to Holland, and I was injured for about 16 months.
Wow.
After that, I just spent 4 months going on trial. I went to Belgium, I went different countries, I went to a couple of football league clubs, and I felt like I was good enough to do it, but they decided that, or they were too concerned that I wasn't fit enough, I wasn't ready.
Do you tell yourself that then in your own mind of going, no, I am good enough, it's just I'm not the right fit for that club, I'm not the right profile for that coach? Is that what you tell yourself to keep yourself going, to put yourself forward for the next one and the next one?
I don't think I had a choice. It's obviously not nice, and I can't sugarcoat it. It's not a nice feeling to think, you know, I was playing at a certain level and now I'm struggling to get at a lower level and it's not working. And then you do doubt yourself. You do doubt, am I good enough? Am I ever going to get back to this level? And that's football. Once you start going down, it's very difficult to get back up. And if you're not playing consistently, you're just looking for an opportunity to get back in, because it's so difficult. And so many players, you know, look now at players who have played high level or dropped out, it's so difficult to get back in. I think that does play on your mind. There's no hiding that. But I think you have to keep going until you get your opportunity. And then when you do get your opportunity, at the end of the day, you have to take it. And there is pressure and there's anxiety, but that's the nature of the business and that's the nature of the sport. And you've got to hold yourself accountable as well. And I don't think we do that a lot, is where we can, without, you know, killing ourselves or beating ourselves up too much, to look back and say, did I actually do enough, or did I play well enough in the opportunity we have? Because sometimes you get 5 minutes, sometimes you get half an hour, sometimes you get 90 minutes to show someone enough to take another chance in you. And that, again, that is just the nature of the business.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. And speaking of business, let's get on to your other businesses. And as co-founder of CBD Performance, not somebody who knows a lot about that, hence why you're on the episode, but tell us about kind of what your products can truly offer players or athletes across different sports. Tell us a little bit about how that came about, the opportunity to be co-founder of that business, and kind of what sets you apart from others. It's quite an emerging market, but there's quite a lot of players in this market of the CBD kind of products. So how did that come about? How, you know, is it something that an opportunity came along? And tell us a little bit more about your products and what it can potentially offer players.
Yeah, so throughout my career, I always struggled with pain management and sleep. And unfortunately, in the nature of the business, whether it's football or in general life, you know, we go for quick wins, which is pharmaceutical blockers, really. Your painkillers and your sleeping tablets and all this kind of stuff. And especially being at a football club, you tend to pop them like Smarties every day just to get you through training and games. Yeah. And, you know, after a while, unfortunately, we become reliant on them. And I certainly got reliant on these, and it was having such an adverse effect on my body because I was in so much pain and felt like I couldn't sleep. I had to keep using these to get through training and games. And when I was coming towards the end, I just needed to find like a natural kind of solution to that. And I was introduced to CBD oil, but at the time it was, you know, mind you, I've never taken drugs. It's not for me, but I did a lot of research on it and I took it, and it wasn't on the anti-doping list. So it was safe for me to take as long as I did my research.
Yeah.
And the effects I had off the back of it was amazing. I couldn't believe it. My anxiety, my recovery, my sleep. And I just thought there was a massive gap in the market. And at the time, I had retired and I was working with my co-founder on another project. I mentioned it and he's had a look at it as well. And we just thought, you know what, there's a huge gap in the market here for a potential premium product that we could really, really push for athletes in the health and fitness industry, purpose a CBD product as an alternative to, you know, your everyday supplements and pharmaceutical kind of aids. But so again, when I say naively jumped into things, we set the company, we did our research and we jumped into it. And, you know, we made a lot of mistakes on the way, but, you know, we've kind of found our way to position ourselves to really move on in the industry and try and educate and try and help not just athletes, but people who are into their health and fitness and well-being, and try and give them an alternative solution to that.
I mean, you make that sound very easy. I'm sure it wasn't. So because many a player I deal with, they've all got, you know, most of them have got an idea about a business, a venture, something they want to do, but you know more than most. You don't just go, oh, got an idea for a business, boom, let's set one up. There's a massive gap in between. So how did that start? Is that something where you've invested yourself, you've sought investment? You know, tell us about kind of the journey and the pathway, the ups and downs of trying to kind of get your vision into action.
Yeah, so first and foremost, it was having the right co-founder. who was on the same level. We had a really good relationship. We hit it off straight away. We had the same values, same understanding, and say same drive. He had a lot of experience in growing businesses, and he also has helped other footballers and people build their own businesses as well. So that was, for me, coming into it with an idea, he had the solution. So I think it's so important that you take the time to research, obviously, that what you're trying to do, how can you do it, step by step, break it down like that. But the most important thing is you're not able to do this by yourself. And I think as well, once you've, it's always important reaching out and seeking advice. Luckily for me, I had someone there that has been through it. But seeking advice and taking action. I think a lot of people sit there and think, I've got this idea, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to reach out to someone. I'm not going to research it. I'm not going to structure it in a plan, in a way where I can plan from start to finish. Where do I want to end up? And then work backwards. And what's the steps to get there?
Yeah.
And again, that just comes from opening yourself up to talking to people, asking for advice, investing in yourself. We learned how to raise money. We learned how to structure the business. We learned how to manufacture, fulfill, distribute. And I learned all this in such a short space of time by just opening up to it and learning off people and researching and taking the time to invest. I did invest in myself to understand exactly how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's possible unless you take those steps.
So you mentioned all that learning, all the different things. And again, you make it sound very easy. I think you're doing yourself a little bit of disservice there. But in terms of, is that daunting, all those experiences, all that learning, all the learning by doing, and surely some of the mistakes you'll have made along the way? Or is it excitement? How did you perceive those opportunities? Were you like daunted, like, oh God, here's another problem? Or were you like, right, here's another challenge. Let's smash this out of the ballpark, and where's the next one? The next one, because we're doing this. How was the mixture of both, or were you very positive or very negative in terms of your outlook in trying to get this business over the line?
Yes, good question. I think it's all about mindset, and you know, coming from football, I think we all have a good level of strong, high performing mindset. We're resilient. We're able to. You know, football's such, one minute you're up, the next minute you're down. It's such a roller coaster. And I feel like there's so many transferable skills that footballers and athletes have in the real world, because if you're growing your own business, or you're an employee or something like that, it's the same thing. Things going really well, the next day there's a problem, you start questioning everything, you start doubting yourself. And I think that's part of the journey. Certainly at the beginning, I found myself overwhelmed by, what am I doing? Things aren't going well. It's difficult. It's having an impact on home life. Is this what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life? I'm starting to go grey at 32. There was loads of things that. And I think that's just part of it. I think once, again, the experience of going through that, I've been retired coming up to 5 years now, which is crazy to think that that's the case. And I look back and I think the first 2 years of me retiring were a mess. I was all over the place. And I had to make so many mistakes. I had to learn. I had to go through a bit of a process of, without going to, I had to understand myself, what my goals were, have a look back and just reflect. Because I think at football, sometimes you don't reflect. You certainly don't reflect while you're in it.
Do you think that's contributed to the success you're having now? Do you think you would have achieved the same successes if you hadn't gone through those 2 years of lows? Or do you think you may have been 2 years ahead of the game? I know it's that probably quite an impossible question to answer because, yeah, you've not got a time machine or sliding doors moment, but do you feel you're much better for that kind of struggle period?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, there's loads of quotes from Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods and all this kind of stuff about all the times they fail and they miss, and that's all been attributed to their success. And I spent a lot of time kind of researching successful athletes, successful business people, entrepreneurs, and it's all about mindset and learning to deal with, you know, failures and experience when things don't go right, because they're just not going to. It's impossible for everything to go right at the time. So true. I had to, it took a good 2 years of dealing with that and learning to deal with when things go wrong or it's not going well, or, you know, you find yourself. And again, seeking a bit of help and speaking to someone helped me massively, rather than I spent most of my career trying to deal with things myself. And not opening up fully, even though I did seek help outside, I didn't really open up fully and I tried to deal with everything on myself. But I think, yeah, the biggest lesson I've learned is people and having the right people around.
And the next position I want to talk about is the work that you do with Beyond the White Line and as a senior advisor. What specifically is that role, and why is that of interest for you? Because, you know, the picture you're painting there, and as I can see, you know, your business is doing well from the CPD, you know, performance element. Why take that role on? Why add that extra workload to your day, to your week?
To be honest, it was when I first met the founder, James, he was brilliant. I thought straight away, you know, he's trying to find a solution to a problem that's been happening for years and years and years, and a problem that I was aware of, but also a problem that I've gone through myself. And we look at the support system, certainly when we first started, you know, you're looking at governing bodies and how clubs deal with certain things, and the it was just more human-led approach rather than looking for profit or for someone to profit out of helping. So it's more that's what interests me a lot, because after going through it yourself, you hear a lot of stories. I've obviously spoken to a lot of players that have retired and seen it when I was younger.
Yeah,
it was always viewed in quite a negative way, you know, the statistics of divorce, alcoholism, gambling are so, so high, and you can understand that. And there's just not a genuine support, like an all-in-one support for that. So that's why I wanted to jump on. I found it interesting. I'm not benefiting anything financially or anything like that. I just feel like I've got a bit of value to give. I really liked what I was trying to achieve. And that was the biggest kind of, you know, pusher for getting involved.
Yeah, and that's why I asked it, because, you know, it's, like you said, you know, financially not gaining from it, and you could have easily gone, well, I've got this new business, you know, it's taken a lot of my time, there's a lot of challenges, there's a lot of learning still to do, you know, really want to, and I suppose it's the mindset of most, not all football players, of dedicating themselves just to one thing, i.e. football. You could have easily gone, it's a great opportunity, but maybe not now, because I'm really starting this business and it's going well, but I really need to dedicate. You could have easily said that, but you didn't. So that's why I asked that question, because it's really interesting that you kind of selflessly giving your time and your experiences and your story into that organization that's doing some really fantastic work, and the fact that you're doing that is commendable. The third bit kind of tag on, so two's not enough, you wanted something else to kind of fulfill your day and your week. Tell our listeners more about the visionary sports and what it could potentially offer them, because I do believe, looking at it from afar, it's something totally unique, something different that's out there on the landscape. But obviously, you'll know far more than me. So tell our listeners about Visionary Sports and what it offers.
Yeah, so it's my co-founder of CBD's company, which he started, I think it was about six years ago. And it's basically a sports consultancy. He's helped a lot of players who were playing at the time set up their own soccer schools. He, you know, worked alongside them, you know, taught them about the business, set it up for him, did everything for them. And he's done that with, yeah, quite a number of players. We've worked on esports, setting up esports teams for players. It's basically a consultancy to help players, you know, realize opportunities or interests that they're in. So you say, for example, supporting a player in building a business, we can certainly help with that, and have experience in doing that. So I think that's the biggest thing that he wanted to achieve. And it's not just players. We work with football clubs, and sponsorship and opportunities. And I think it's, yeah, just trying to make the most. We talk about opportunities earlier on. I think it's just trying to open up those opportunities for various different people and organisations.
You got a favourite one between the three? Or, I mean, it's like probably choosing between your kids, but is there a favourite one? Is the one where you're just like, oh, God, yeah, it's still, that's still the one for me? You know, is it the selflessly giving back with behind the white lines, or is it kind of the cutting edge in esports with the visionary sports, or is it still the business side of the CBD performance that's really kind of like giving you that motivation each morning to wake up? Or are you going to give me the sitting on the fence answer saying they're all equally important?
Well, they all have different No, I'm not. It's been 5 years. I'm out of the robot. They all have different kind of goals and interests. I think, you know, I love the fact that we've literally built a business from a piece of paper, and an idea to launching in Selfridges, the biggest retail store in the UK, with, you know, no experience or anything like that. I find that as like a great achievement. Like that's been one of our great achievements. So it's kind of our, yeah, proudest thing. But then you've got all the, they're all great. I mean, I've always wanted to keep busy. I want to keep busy because the moment that you're not busy, your mind starts taking over. And I've got an overactive mind. I overthink too much. Yeah. So I like keeping busy, and I like carnage. I don't like carnage, but I do. But like, if carnage isn't involved, then I'm a bit lost. So, yeah, I do like keeping busy, and I do enjoy everything else. And now I've kind of opened up to the thought of maybe doing some mentoring and some coaching for athletes and on entrepreneurs.
Oh, well, that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting to see how you get on with that and have you back on the podcast next season to talk us around that mentoring and coaching. There's quite a few we've had on already, you know, in terms of that. That's another growing and emerging market, you know, not just in sport, but outside of sport. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that one goes. We finish off every podcast with a chance for you to kind of leave a lasting message, a lasting piece of advice for our listeners who are predominantly, you know, academy players or young professionals. Is the playing career piece of advice, or a business piece of advice, or a transitional piece of advice you want to give our listeners?
Yeah, I think certainly, you know, try not to put too much pressure on yourself, because sometimes things are just out of your control. I think you've got to enjoy it. Sometimes we just don't enjoy the ride enough, and the experiences, and, you know, what will be at the end of the day. As long as you're accountable and you've tried your hardest, and that's all you can do. Without being kind of robotic, I think we spend too much time worrying and beating ourselves up if things don't go well. But certainly from a transitional point of view, whether you're going to go on and play 500 Premier League games, or, you know, you're not going to make it back into the Football League, I think you need to always have a focus on what else is there and what can I do, because there's always going to be a day, whether you're 16, 36, football's not going to be around anymore. You're not going to be playing it. So the sooner you can kind of get your head around that and start putting things in place and learning what your interests are and doing some research and reaching out, I think the better.
And that's great advice. Very great advice. I think to not, like you said, you've got to take ownership and accountability over your own journey, your own transition. The time is right for you. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to do it at a certain age. I think what I love about you and the way that you've done it, whether it's pure chance, whether it's been a plan that you've, like you said, you've taken from paper and put into action, the fact that each of your ventures, and even now if you do, or when you do go into the mentoring and coaching side of things, they complement each other so well, but yet are so different. So it's not like you've gone, all right, I've got one business and I'll set up a second one and a third one and a fourth one. It's, you've got a business, you're in a totally different role in terms of giving back for free. Then you're in, you know, consultancy part of thing, and then mentoring. They complement each other, and your week must be so varied, and that must keep you stimulated and motivated. And I think, you know, if any of our listeners do take anything from the last 45-50 minutes, I think it's that of, like, there's no one set way. You've mentioned the journey quite a few times, and yeah, you know, sometimes it is out of our hands, sometimes it's down to chance, it's down to opportunity. Yes, you've got to say yes to those opportunities. You've networked, build relationships, and I think you're a great example for young football players, you know, up and down the country. So yeah, and on that note, thank you very much from me, but most importantly, our listeners, who I am sure will be taking plenty from, you know, your story, your playing career, your background, and now currently what you're doing at this moment in time. And I'm sure, you know, your coaching and mentoring side of things, whether it's a business, whether it's you as an individual, I'm sure that'll be a success as well. So thank you for your time.
No, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Plenty to unpick from this one. What Simon has shown is that you can take your football mindset and skills into your transition. That will set you apart from others and add value to whatever role or position you pursue. And here are three such skills you can take into yours. Fear from failure. Simon spoke about this passionately, and I've never quite seen it that way before. But think about it. You as a player go out there knowing that there's a good chance of failure. You can't win every game, but you still prepare and you're willing to put yourself out there, even when failure is possible or even on the cards. A great attribute to have in business, as things won't always be rosy, and there are times this mindset that you've moulded over the years will pay off. Networking. You're doing it now without even realising it. You do it every day at every club you've ever been at. Think of football similar to a social network. We all know someone who is either still at or has been most, if not at every club or academy. A friend of a friend of a friend, as it were. In your case, a former teammate, a coach, a physio, analyst, or any other member of backroom staff. Tap into your network, and not just for those football opportunities, but career ones too. Which brings me nicely onto opportunities. We all have them, some never take them, some don't even see them when they're right there staring at you in the face. But they are there. Whether it be a trial period or a loan, or just a chance to train with a club to maintain your fitness. Maybe it's a conversation, a message, or a meet by chance face to face. Simon learned to say yes to his. Maybe you should too. And maybe, just maybe, you will see your transition take off just like his. And keeping the theme of Simon's up, next week we bring you Simon Rogers as he joins us to unleash your potential in next week's interview from the locker. Thanks for listening to this week's episode, and we hope you have taken many key messages away with you. But the next part is down to you now, by putting these into action. If you'd like today's episode, feel free to tell us on our various social media platforms, where you can find us at @thelocker_UK. For guest recommendations, future topics to be discussed, or you simply want to reach out, you can do so by emailing us on thedevelopmentlocker@gmail.co.uk. Remember to share this episode and our platform with your teammates, friends in football, or anyone you feel would benefit from it. So, what are you waiting for? But you're not done yet, as we look forward to seeing you next week when we bring you another interview from The Locker.